Welcome to Business Beat. Here each week, KBIA takes a look at the business and economic issues facing Mid-Missouri. I'm Christopher Husted. Coming up, we'll check in with a revised Environmental Protection Agency standard that could help some wastewater treatment facilities struggling to comply with part of the Clean Water Act's deadline.
A prime example, nitrogen and phosphorus pollution. We're trying to get to some really low levels, and current technology just doesn't get you there.
But let's start with another federal agency, the U.S. Department of Agriculture. Every year, more than 9 billion chickens and turkeys are slaughtered, then inspected for defects before heading to market. The USDA is trying to modernize that inspection process, which dates back to 1950s-era poultry law. But while industry, government, and consumer groups agree that updating makes sense, there's widespread disagreement over whether the USDA's proposals will actually make things better. Harvest Public Media's Amy Mayer reports.
Phyllis McKelvey spent 44 years looking for blemishes on chicken carcasses.
I started out as a inspector's helper back when I was just practically a kid.
Later, she became a government inspector in Alabama and Tennessee. And in 1998, McKelvey became part of a U.S. Department of Agriculture trial.
I was one of the first groups of inspectors ever put on hemp.
HIMP is the acronym for the new inspection system the Department of Agriculture has been testing for 14 years. Data gathered at 20 pilot locations influenced the controversial new inspection rule USDA unveiled last year. If enacted, the changes could affect all poultry plants in 30 states, including Iowa, Nebraska, and Missouri. USDA Undersecretary for Food Safety Elizabeth Hagen says the agency's goal is simple.
We think this is a better way to protect consumers than we have done before, and that's really it. It doesn't get more complicated than that.
Among the proposed changes, for example, is a requirement that companies test for harmful pathogens. The rule also allows birds to travel past the inspector faster, and it shifts the initial sorting of birds to the companies, big ones like Tyson and smaller ones like West Liberty Foods in Iowa. Employees would remove carcasses or parts that are visibly unacceptable, so those never reach the government inspector. But McKelvey says when her plant adopted hemp, she saw company workers without adequate training making decisions she disapproved of.
And it's hard to get them to understand, you know, they want to do what their supervisor says, not the right thing. You know, if supervisor says let it all go down the line, they let it all go down the line because that's who pays them.
It's still the inspector's job to stop such a bird, but McKelvey felt that under the hemp system, the government's authority diminished. That's one reason many people oppose the rule. Over 2,000 public comments were filed, with many protesting that companies would end up controlling inspections. The new rule also would reduce the number of inspectors on the line, cutting federal jobs. The National Turkey Federation and the National Chicken Council endorse the proposed rule. The groups say it allows inspectors to focus on details that didn't exist when the current system was created. National Turkey Federation President Joel Brandenberger says back then, visual inspection was all they had.
The time now has come to focus even more on pathogen control. That requires significant biological testing. And that is where the federal government has decided it wants its inspectors more.
Undersecretary Hagen says the data show hemp plants did as well or better than others on measures such as salmonella rates, and they did it at a lower cost. Consumer groups such as the Center for Effective Government deemed the same data inconclusive, while adding that saving money shouldn't be a motivating factor. But Hagen says in this case, efficiency and efficacy go together.
There's definitely a good government component to this, being better stewards of the taxpayer dollars that we get to do our jobs. But what's driving it is furthering our mission and continuing to improve public health.
Phyllis McKelvey, who's retired now, doesn't think that's going to happen. Under hemp, she says, too many potentially unsafe chickens get by. Last year, after the public comment period was over, McKelvey delivered to USDA a petition with over 177,000 signatures opposing the hemp rule. McKelvey does still buy and eat chicken, always washing it before cooking it.
It's going to be clean before it goes in my skillet, and it's not coming out of my skillet half done.
After 14 years of testing, the new poultry rule remains undercooked, still pending at the Department of Agriculture. But Undersecretary Hagen says it's a priority she shares with her boss, Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack. I'm Amy Mayer, Harvest Public Media.
A recent decision by the Environmental Protection Agency's Region 7 gives wastewater treatment plants in Missouri more time to comply with a portion of the Clean Water Act. Michelle Skaliski has more.
The change to state water quality standards rules provides greater flexibility in Missouri's National Pollutant Discharge Elimination System permit program. The state's regulations previously allowed no more than 3 years for a permittee, such as municipal sewage treatment plants, to come into compliance with its NPDES permit. The Missouri Department of Natural Resources submitted proposed changes allowing longer than 3 years to EPA in December for review and approval. The decision to approve the changes was recently announced. John DeLashmit, chief of water quality management for EPA's Region 7 in Kansas City, says treatment plants were having difficulty attaining low levels of nutrients in the time period allowed under the old rules.
A prime example, nitrogen and phosphorus pollution. We're trying to get to some really low levels, and current technology just doesn't get you there. So the EPA's federal regulation requires in a compliance schedule that the permittee come into compliance as soon as possible. The state had that same requirement, but the state had a 3-year upper bound on that. In other words, they couldn't give a permittee greater than 3 years to come into compliance.
According to DeLashmit, getting to the required low levels of nutrients is going to take some facilities longer than 3 years. The new rules allow the treatment plants to come into compliance as soon as possible. So how does the EPA make sure facilities continue to work toward compliance under the new no upper boundary regulation? DeLashmit says there are ways to do that.
One of the things that EPA suggests, and I think the state also uses, is when they're looking at time to come into compliance, they establish periodic milestones where the permittee can report back to the state its progress, and we keep track of the progress toward compliance.
According to the EPA's regional administrator, Carl Brooks, Missouri's facilities are developing new approaches and technologies that require some flexibility in the permit program, and he says this new rule will encourage both innovation and compliance. I'm Michelle Skaliski.
That'll do it for Business Beat this week. You can check out these stories and more at kbia.org. I'm Christopher Husted. Thanks for listening.